The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancer at KLMJ Hampton and Jake Bourgeois with the Anamosa Journal Eureka. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks, Senator, and good morning. Can you give folks an update on how the budget talks are going right now, and what do you foresee happening in the coming days?
First of all Republicans voted against the budget resolution. The budget resolution is the framework for what we call reconciliation. So the Democrats are trying to pass a partisan reconciliation bill. All of the discussion on it is within the Democrat caucuses of the House and Senate. They have not reached an agreement yet. In the meantime, the bipartisan roads and highways, airports, locks and dams, seaports, also internet, broadband, all that stuff is in a separate bill, and that bill would be investment for the next 40 years. It doesn't set up something that's going to be spent day after day after day like the reconciliation bill does, a whole bunch of new social programs. In other words, the Democrats can't agree, so nothing's happening. And it was supposed to pass the Roads and Highways Bridges Bill, a bipartisan bill, September the 27th, but that's been put off by Pelosi because she's responding to a good part of her caucus that says they won't vote for the Roads and Highways Bill until the other bill's ready to go. Now, hopefully the other bill will never go because it's just bad policy feeding inflation. You know how bad inflation is, and it's going to get worse. We can't spend another $4 trillion there. So hopefully, from my point of view, nothing happens except the highway bridges, the physical infrastructure bill. Let's go to Anamosa.
Just to build off that a little bit and talk a little bit more about the timeline for the infrastructure bill. With the stance that you mentioned right now as far as get the House saying they want to get that other bill passed first, is that something that you're hoping gets picked back up, the infrastructure bill, in the next few weeks? Or is that strictly just a wait and see at the moment?
Well, it's entirely up to the House, but because I voted for it, and because Iowa's bridges are the worst in the nation of the 50 states, 23% of them structurally unsound, we need to move very quickly on that infrastructure bill. And like I said, that's going to be spent over a period of 5 to 8 years, and it's an investment for the next 40 years. And to remember that these are two separate bills. Pelosi even said that. Originally, when it went to the House, she said they're not going to pass this these bills with all these social programs in it, $4 trillion worth, until it was coupled with the infrastructure bill for roads. She backed off of that. So they ought to go as two separate bills. And Pelosi shouldn't hold hostage bill that's an investment in our infrastructure, better roads, better bridges, locks and dams, airports, seaports, et cetera, particularly broadband for rural America. Those are all very important investments that ought to move separately regardless of what happens to the other bill. And I guess the bottom line answer to your question is we in the Senate's just going to have to wait until the House acts. Back to Hampton.
Yeah, Senator, you mentioned about the inflation and the situation that's going on right now. Now we're hearing reports about natural gas supplies or maybe short supply and higher in expense. Anything that could be done to maybe stop that before it gets worse?
No, there isn't. And it's said, well, there is some things that this administration's done that makes domestic production, all this stuff, worse. Limiting drilling on public lands, shutting down ANWR in Alaska, not going with the XL pipeline, the administrative bodies not given access for pipelines, things of that nature. Yeah, that all hurts, but it's also a global problem, dealing with the pandemic and supply chain and all that. I've heard from farmers here very recently that they can't even get a price for anhydrous ammonia. That's how bad the situation is. They don't even know what to charge you because they don't know what they're going to pay for input. And most of it is related to the increase in the price of natural gas. Okay, back to Anamosa.
Wanted to ask about your recent testimony in the House on some of the ag things you've been working on. What was your takeaway from the hearing that the House had on some of the transparency measures, and what do you see as sort of the next steps for that moving forward?
Well, first of all, a senator doesn't get invited to testify in the House very often, so I consider it quite an honor that Chairman Scott of the House Agriculture Committee would invite me to testify. And by the way, he said back in June when I spent an hour with him in his office that he might have a hearing and ask me to testify. I didn't give it much consideration at that time, but I did accept the invitation. He gave me an hour in his office last June to talk about the problems with the cattle producers. And you're there in Jones County, and you know I had 150 cattle producers come to a town meeting I had in Jones County, and they said back in May, we got to have help, and we got to have it right now. So we're moving along with the Grassley-Fisher, hopefully a compromise between our two bills, and it seems to be going pretty good at this point, and get something passed to get farmers a fair price. And even if they got a fair price today, some cases they can't market for a month. So it's just a bad situation. So that's what my testimony was all about, and I hope that he will help us get a bill through. Secretary Vilsack also testified, not in the same manner I did, but about agriculture generally and what can be done to help. And I'm glad that the White House, when they put out an executive order to get more competition into the marketplace, they included we needed some legislation for the livestock industry. Back to Hampton.
Senator, I've been hearing a little bit more lately about the Roe v. Wade situation, both sides gearing up for the Supreme Court arguments here in a few months. What are your thoughts about all that?
Well, I think the only issue we have in the Congress is protecting to make sure that taxpayers don't pay for abortions. And I think there is a movement more towards pro-life, away from pro-choice. That's sometimes difficult to quantify, but it sure has changed dramatically in the pro-life direction in the last 50 years, and most of it very recently. And then the House passed a bill that would overturn the Texas law that you've read so much about. But I don't think there's much Congress is going to do beyond the Hyde Amendment, except for what the courts do, and I don't expect much action to pass in the Congress, regardless of how the Supreme Court might rule. They're going to hold a hearing this month on the Mississippi abortion law, and we'll just have to see what happens there.
What were your sort of, obviously you joined President Trump on his campaign stop over the weekend. What was your takeaway from that event, and why was that something you wanted to make an appearance at?
Well, I think if any former president asked me to come and do something that's in Iowa or outside of Iowa, like for instance, President Carter a few years ago invited me to a Baptist to speak at a Baptist meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. I think wherever former presidents, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, they ask you to be at an event, I should be there. Even if you disagree with the president, at least you're honoring the presidency. So I went, and I was happy to receive his endorsement. After all, he's got 91% approval rating in Iowa, and there were 23,000 Iowans there, and I think I owe it to the Iowans to honor them as well by being present, if it's possible. And then you also got to remember how Iowans are very upset with the current administration, and I highlighted the successful programs that Trump got through with a very dramatic shortcomings of this administration, the Biden administration. And I had a chance to speak 5 minutes about policy. You know, you don't have to involve the personality of Biden or the personality of President Trump, or whether you like one or the other or don't like either one of them. Talking about policy, you know how the crisis at the border, you know about how he handled Afghanistan, you know about inflation, you know about the tax and spending spree that they're on. That's all harmful, and in some cases meaning death to the Americans maybe we left behind in Afghanistan, or the Afghans that helped our military. Their life is being threatened. Then compare that with the very successful programs of Trump. And I started out with the Supreme Court, and I went on from there, about five or six things that I pointed as highlights of his administration that are all good policy. Back to Hampton.
Senator, I was going to ask you, too, about, of course, you announced you're going to seek another term in office. What do you want to tell people that are thinking about seeking a term in, of any kind of public office right now, given I guess, the atmosphere we're in these days?
Well, I like representing the people of Iowa. I enjoy my work. I would encourage other people to run for office. I would, I get up at 4 and run in the morning. I get to the office at 6, leave the office at 6:30, keep almost the same schedule. I shouldn't say almost. I do keep the same schedule I have for the last 40 years, both in Iowa, 99 counties, and the other. Now, maybe some people that were thinking about running for public office, they wouldn't want to do that. But I think that it's part of the job, and I enjoy doing it and serving the people of Iowa. Let's go to Anamosa, and you'll be the last question.
Aside from sort of the budget discussions and sort of the work we've talked about with the transparency for the cattle markets, what's sort of on the agenda for you, some of the things you're hoping might get passed through the Congress? Coming up here.
Well, there's a Grassley tester bill. That's a bipartisan bill. There's a Fisher bill, Fisher of Nebraska. I would want to have 50% of the sales every day be a negotiated price. That way you get plenty of transparency and people know whether or not they're getting a fair price rather than a dictated price. And you ought to be able to deliver your cattle in 14 days. Now, Fisher's got a little bit different approach. She would make it 25%. She'd do it on a regional basis. She and I have to get together, and I think we will get together and pass legislation. And when you say what are some of the things, like plural, I'd say we're concentrating on getting a bill passed, and except for urging Secretary of Agriculture to make greater use of the Packers and Stockyards Act, which Congress doesn't have to act on that. It's just the enforcement and the use of that law, and also to get the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice doing more, but that's their job. But we urge them to do that. But we're concentrating on the legislation in the Congress. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Brian and Jake, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.